This morning we're going to continue along a line we've been teaching, God's principles for prosperity. We're talking about some things and areas that God's began to speak to me and show me some things dealing in the areas of prosperity of why people don't prosper. And one of the things is we talked about in the beginning, I'm a big believer in the giving part. As part as you do is giving, you need to do that. But it has been emphasized in ministries, and I believe sometimes in wrong ways to people, to get them just to give money to the ministry. And it's about the idea that if you just give money, that then you're going to be blessed. And it's unscriptural. There's more than just giving money. You can give money and it not do anything for you. I mean, you could give, go over and read 1 Corinthians. I mean, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if you don't walk in love, you could give everything you got, and it ain't gonna, it won't profit you. He said, you could even give your body to be burned. He said, it don't matter. So in other words, there's principles you have to follow if you want to get into God's blessing. And you need to understand, there's a difference. One of the things that they lead people in the idea that if you don't, follow God, you're going to be poor. Well, we know, we can look around the world. There's people got, some of the most richest people in the world ain't Christians. They don't walk with God. But there's benefit to the God's prosperity because of one thing. God's prosperity, it tells us there's no sorrow with it. So one thing, if people got money and got a lot of sorrow, this one thing I know, I don't care if they're a Christian, they're ungodly. Woo! Because sorrow does not go with the money when God is prospering you. So you want to, that doesn't mean we don't ever face problems or things, but you ain't going to live under, there's too many people living under sorrow and everything else. Money is not going to fix your situation. Money is very helpful. There's things that you need money for sure. And you want to have money for, but too many people think money is the answer to many problems, and all it does is create many more problems for them. And I believe in prosperity, and I believe God wants us to prosper. I don't believe we prosper near as much as He wants us to. I don't believe we're even close in the ball. Part, but I found this out. It's not God that holds back, it's us. And we're held back because of either our not walking in the light of the Word of God, or we don't know certain things about God. We don't know certain things. We don't have revelation. Or if we do, then sometimes we're not walking in faith with it. We don't live and walk in faith. And we need to be very careful in these areas. It's one of the things that I said in the beginning when the Lord said, who's been dealing with me about this changing of times and seasons. This is important. People need to start coming in line. There's people, God has had great mercy on them and doing things for them, but they haven't been walking in the light. And the Holy Spirit just reminded me of the fact of a book that was written by Charles Kaplan. He saw in the vision a funnel of light. And that funnel came down of light. And it came down closer and closer and got more intense and more intense. And the Lord told him what the funnel was. He said, this is coming. You're seeing the light of God as it's coming into the end of the age. He said, people that were walking in the light of God back down here in this time period, he said, if they don't change and get over closer to the center, they're going to be walking in darkness if they keep going the direction they're going. And he said, you're going to have to move in closer and closer. He said, the light will get more intense, and the more you walk into that light, the greater the blessing. But so you can't do what you did in the past. There's things that the church has gotten away with. God has been very merciful to Christians, but it will not be continually extended. I'm just telling you. I've already seen it. I tell you what, the amount of Christians and people that have died prematurely and stuff, things are happening and going on. People are not walking right, and they aren't getting away with what they got away with. And as the time closes out on this earth, it's going to become more. It's going to become closer and closer and closer. And so we want to walk in the light. And that's why God was sharing these things. You know, I don't want to be some gimmick preacher just trying to get money out of people's pockets. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be in that place. I tell you, I wouldn't preach at all. If I'd rather not preach at all than to be like that. I don't want to go there. It isn't about getting money out of people's pockets. But, and on the other hand, it's part of what the Bible says we need to do in the areas of giving. There's one thing is I don't tell people to give unless I'm a giver. And I'll tell you what, I'm a good giver. I like to give, and I give a lot. And I'm not talking about bragging, because I tell you, I believe the word. I want to step into something greater, and I believe what the Bible says. And if you want to go to another level, if you want to step into another level, you got to go beyond what you're doing right now. What you're doing right now will not take you to another level. It won't do it. Because if it would, you'd already been to that other level. It won't. So you have to step into it greater. And you know, it's just, I said, Wanda and I, you know, we gave, you know, 20% of our income away. I'm shooting for 30% of our income. Wow, I want more. There's more that I want. There's more that I want to do. I can't rise to another level at where I'm at. I have to step to another level. And so, and really, it's Mike read this morning, whose control decides what you get back? Whose control is it under? Is it under God's control? He read the scriptures. No, it's what we purpose. It's not under God. You want the blessing of God? Well, you can have it, but it's under how much blessing you get is up to you. It's not up to God. God's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, the deal's done. How much do you want? Glory to God. Well, I've decided how much I want. Hallelujah. I want a whole lot more than I've been doing. And it's not to hoard things up. I tell you what, there's stuff I want to give to. There's stuff I want to be a part of. There's places I want to go preach. I want to go do something. And I tell you what, most people ain't got the money to take me where I need to go. They ain't got. Most people are thinking on too low of a level. You know? They think the tithe's big. My God. Hallelujah. Well, we've been teaching on principles. We've covered three principles so far that God, and one of them was faithfulness. And these are tied to money because we went into scriptures. They're tied to money. Faithfulness and money run hand in hand. People who are not faithful, you know, it says if you're going to be faithful over a little bit, he said he'll make you ruler over much. If you ain't faithful with what you got, you're not going to see more. And that's a pattern you can carry over in the natural. You never promote anybody into thing who hasn't been faithful with a little bit. You never give them more. You know, you get a guy that hasn't been faithful at work, you don't give him a pay raise. I don't care if the cost of living goes up. His needs to go down. I don't believe in this rot that the government does, this devilish stuff. You know, I believe for, you know, equal pay for equal work, not being on the same job. People are on the same job and don't do near as much work as another person does on the same job, and they should not get paid the same. I don't believe in it, and God don't believe in it either. Jesus talked about having a vineyard and how hiring people, and they got mad at him because of how he decided to pay. He said, it's up to me, it's my money, not yours. The church needs to learn that today. The world sure don't. They think that the guy who owns the business, they should have his money and they should be able to say what to do with it. It's ungodly to do that. If you don't like what you're getting paid, leave your job and go someplace else. You're the one that went there for a job. They didn't call you. I'm going to do some good preaching. I'm going to meddle a lot because we need as Christians start to tell in this world and telling people on their handouts, we need to get in their faces. Because if we don't, we're lying to them and we're going to send them off to hell trying to pat people on the back. And we got to stop it. We need to come in line with the Word of God. We need to tell people the truth. I'm going to tell you what, somebody comes to me and says they can't afford to give, I'm going to tell them you're going to stay poor because I ain't going to try to take care of you. You're going to go under no matter what I do. You're going under. God can't help you. You can pray night and day and seek God. Until you do the Word, it ain't going to work for you. I've had people come and ask me to pray for their finances. The first thing I ask them, do you tithe? They say no. I said, I ain't praying for your finances. Or, you ain't going to obey the Word. I ain't wasting my time praying for you. You know what to do, and you won't do it. God ain't getting in your stuff. If you know what the Bible says, you need to do it. Praise God. Good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. Well, we talked about the also one of the principles, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's made us free from the law of sin and death. You need to walk in the principles. See, there is the law of sin and death. Much of Christianity lives in the law of sin and death. They're born again. They talk about being free, but are bound in sin. Live under the world system. Talk the world system stuff. They act in this world according to the world system. And they do the things. I'm sorry. You got to walk in. There's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And you need to walk and follow that law because that will have to do with your prosperity. Whether financially, family, health, you name it. It'll affect your walk. We also talked last week because we looked at the one the Lord had me talk about seeking God, because we found out that prosperity has to do with seeking God. We went through scriptures. Seeking God and me prospering in life run hand in hand. So whatever I'm seeking, see, many people are seeking prosperity. I don't seek prosperity. I seek God. I find out what He wants me to do and I do it. Hallelujah. My intent is to have more money so I can give more with it, not so I can hoard more with it and I can go retire and sit on a beach someplace and not do anything. That is not God's plan and purpose. That's one of the reasons America is going into debt today and so much problem. We have too many people that are collecting money, not working, and I'm telling all areas of life. People, everybody wants to work a few years and retire and have all kind of money and live out a life doing nothing. That's never been the plan of God, has never been, but man has done it, and and look at the shape of our nation is. You can't do it. And it will not work. And God cannot bless it. You can pray night and day and you're going to have trouble. Because God is not going to get in to what man keeps walking in the places that he's walking and doing what he does. God will not get in and help out. This is why I want to get over walking in what God wants, because I want to prosper in this time while others are going under. Hallelujah. I want to prosper. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to prosper. Glory to God. Hallelujah. People don't like the haves and have-nots. It's going to be more haves and have-nots. Hallelujah. It's going to get worse. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm on the right team, so I'm heading in the right direction. And we're going to look this morning. One of the things I want to say is going into this, one of the things we're going to look at is really the principle of doing the Word. We're going to talk about it. But it's number one, before we talk about specifically doing the Word, I want you to come into the idea, because who is the God that you're trusting? What is the God that you're trusting? See, many people, they're believing God, but really, their expectations about their God and how they view God. I mean, they don't see God in the light of things. You know, we can see God. The Bible tells us, I'm going to just go read through these scriptures. I'll tell you what they are. You can write them down, but I'm going to, in Jeremiah 10:12 says, 10:12 says, He has made the earth by His power, as He has established the world by His wisdom. He stretched out the heavens at His discretion. Psalms 19:1 says, Heaven declares the glory of God, and the expanse of the heavens show the work of His hand. And Romans 1 and verse 20 says, For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So it's through the things this invisible God created in the heavens and in the earth, we can see His eternal power or His divine nature. We can see it through these things that He made. And so you need to understand, I want you to see this, because if we're going to do what God wants, you've got to see, is He smart enough that if He tells me to do something, should I trust it? Well, see, most people have a trust problem with God, and the reason that they do, they don't know Him. Most Spirit-filled Christians don't even know God. Because I hear people talk time, I'm just having a hard time trusting God. What for? You don't know Him. If you know Him, you trust Him. People don't know. You've got to know your God, or you will not obey what He tells you to do. Because you think, well, Ben, if I do that, what's going to happen to me? Well, I'll tell you what, if you do the Word of God, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get blessed. Now, that doesn't mean people are going to like it. You might get opposition from people, but you'll never get opposition from God. And if you want to walk in the blessing of God, you're going to have to be able to trust Him. Because I'll tell you, in this day and age, He's going to tell you to do contrary, and He's already telling people to do contrary to what the regular system and even the church system say to do, because they're not in line with the Word of God. The church system does as much as it can to keep people poor, to keep people down and oppressed, so the church can be God over people and give them their food to eat and give them their stuff. My job ain't to be God to nobody. The Lord told me, He said, when He told me to start the church, He said, I want you to teach people so they can know me like you do. That's the purpose. It's not so I can lord over and everything. And you know what? It's not the point. It's so people can know God. Well, thank God, I know Him better now than I knew Him then. But we got to know God more. You got to know God. Faith is in God. Hallelujah. And most people have their faith in a system today, even church systems. People have their faith in the church system because men have made the church into a system. And it's no more many times than any other organization. And it's become a system. So, but we want to take a look at, I just want to give you some statistics. When you think about our God and our creation. Now think about these things. Because, I mean, we sit here on this planet, we take so much for granted. And we listen to ignoramuses come out with their theories, you know. And they teach their theories as facts. And then they come out, and I was just reading some new theories, the things that they would come out with on stuff, and they believe now. So they throw out their old theories, which they stood on all the time to make us people who believe in the creating God, that we were ignoramuses, that they were right. And now they throw their theories out. No, they've been wrong. And so they throw out another one. Now they've got other theories. You know? Now it wasn't a big bang, an explosion. It was a big freeze, now they believe. I'm serious. And that's what they're turning to. There was a big freeze out caused this thing. You know? In other words, I'm just telling you, these people, godless men will come up with godless answers to problems. But God's going to hold them accountable because you know what? They're going to stand before God one day and God's going to say this to them. You knew by creation there's a God. You're a liar. And I tell you, there will not one of them ever say, I didn't know. The Bible says they know. You know what the Bible says why people are homosexuals and this homosexual lesbian stuff goes on? It says because they know there's a God and they won't worship Him. Oh, they just don't know. This is the church world today. This is the ignoramus. Read the Bible sometime. It says they become what they are because they know and they refuse. God turns them over to a reprobate mind. I thought the devil did that. I want to tell you what we need to know. When I know what the truth is, I walk in it because it's a dangerous thing not to. It's dangerous not to. But listen, our earth, we sit on a world, we call it a ball, isn't exactly a ball, but it's 24,875 miles, this sphere that we're standing on today. Now I want you to see. So now this sphere that we're on, this earth, is about, you know, 93 million miles away from our sun. Now, I want you to think about this. The earth revolves around the sun at 18 miles per second. It's revolving at eight, going around the sun. I know we're making a path, 18 miles per second, or that's 1,080 miles per minute. Or I want you to think about this. We are right now, you and I are right now, traveling through space at 64,800 miles per hour. Did you notice the motion? You know what? This just happened because of an explosion. Yeah. And now we think, oh, maybe it was a freeze. We don't know. But this just happened, you know. It just took place, okay? Now, on top of that, this Earth is not just traveling at 64,800 miles an hour. It's also rotating at 1,000 miles per hour. It's rotating at 1,000 miles per hour, moving at 64,800 miles an hour, going through space. And you and I sit here, and we could swear we're standing still. And we're not. We're just standing still on the ball, but the balls are really moving. This ball is going to town. And we're on this ride. But yet it doesn't see it. Now think about it. So light travels 186,000 miles per second. Now I want to think about that. That's 11,160,000 miles per hour. That's how fast it's traveling. So light from the sun takes approximately around 8 minutes to hit the earth here. Now the sun is one of, our sun isn't really a star, but it's one of about 100 million stars in our galaxy alone, just our galaxy. Now I want you to think about that. Today scientists, when they look out here into space, there are literally billions of galaxies. Now all of this just came out of nowhere. There's no origin for anything. It just showed up, you know. I mean, it's amazing. Now, our sun is being a small star. We could actually, but yet I want you to think of the size of our sun. Our sun, we could take the planet Earth, we could put 1,300,000 Earths inside the sun. That's how big our sun is out there. And it's a little one. It's a little one. They have found a star that is so large that they could put 1 billion of our suns inside of it. Now, the next star that is closest to us is 4.27 light years away. In other words, if you traveled at the speed of light, it would take you 4.27 years to get there. Now, I want you to think about this. Light travels in a year's time, travels 5.88 trillion miles. In a year. 5.88 trillion. In other words, if you wanted, you'd have to be you gotta really be speeding if you want to make it there in that period of time. You know, I was reading those because, you know, they'd have these scientists were talking about, oh, we could build machines and stuff and things that would be able to travel at the speed of light, and they talk about this stuff. But they need to understand that right now, from our technology that we have, if we could harness all the energy of our sun, we still couldn't make something that would produce enough power to make us travel that fast. You know, people say, and they make up all these theories and they have all this stuff, and believe me, folks, it is 99.9% theory. But because some eggheads get together and they have a PhD post hole digger, you know, beside their name, then, oh, hey, the whole world goes, you send your kids to school, and they tell them, oh, yeah, we got all this stuff, we know this stuff, and they don't know nothing. They can't even tell you. I sat and watched a thing here a couple years ago on gravity. They ran this thing on science. Science, really, they know what gravity does, but they don't know why it does what it does. They can't figure out why gravity works. And I could take them the Bible, because it says that God's what holds things together. He's the guy that makes things hold together. They said they don't know what it is. I know what it is. It's the power of God. If they'd have read the Bible, I could have showed them. My God, I knew that for years ago, and I didn't have to come up with a theory. But here they go. But they'll tell you all this stuff that they know, but they don't tell you how much they ain't got a clue about. So they don't know these things. But, you know, they say the edge of our known universe is estimated to be 100 billion light years away. But see, the whole thing was, now just think, this is about our God in creation. This is just creation we're talking about. This is what He's made. Do you think this guy knows something? Do you think he has some kind of intelligence? I mean, He has done this in creating into this natural realm where I live. You would think that we could trust Him to tell us what to do while we're here in it. He's pretty smart. Now, I read you all those things. Do you know, if you just take the Earth's axis and you shift it a little bit from what it already is, changes things enormously. You know, one of the things they're talking about, this global warming stuff and things, that isn't what our problem is. What our problem is, our Earth's axis has actually shifted. It did 2 times here in the last 2 or 3 years because of big earthquakes. A slight change. A minute change in the Earth's axis can alter huge things about climate. If our Earth shifted on its axis by 1 full degree, I'm going to tell you what, there would be natural disasters you could not imagine. But scientists come on with their little stupid little stuff going on. It's just like if you change things about our Earth and its operation of how it moves around the sun. This is no just thing. It just sort of happened out here and it's just sort of working. You can't alter this stuff. You move the sun a little further away or you move it a little bit closer. I mean, huge things would go wrong. And they make you believe that this all just happened, you know. It's like, you know, a fine, you know, watchmaker that would sit down and put together the old watches and the things that he would do. It's like, you know, taking, they said that really the idea of taking parts of that watch and putting it in a box, if you had them all apart and shook them up, your chances that it would have just happened are the same if you shook that box and opened it and the watch would be put together. They did a computer, they went and did a computer analysis on that of the chances of things ending up like they say. They fed it to a computer, and that's what the computer came up with, said that was the computer's analogy. It would be like taking that watch and shaking it in a box, and when you open the box, the watch put itself together. That's the chances of their being accurate about our creation. But I'm sorry, they don't go by Ed's theory. You know, they don't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't go. They don't care. You know, they say I'm crazy for believing the Bible. Well, let me alone. Hallelujah. See, Solomon had a revelation about God because he built this wonderful temple, and Solomon said this. But will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and earth, and the heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I built for you. I built this temple. I want you to think about this. It's hard for us to understand. We talk about God indwelling us. But then in a sense, God dwells within each believer. But yet, we need to understand that God's indwelling isn't like God actually, you know, what can contain God? What can really hold Him? I don't believe there's anything that could really hold or contain God. Now, if His creation is what it is, what is He? My God, what is He? And you need to understand this. This is the one who is speaking to us. This is the one who's talking to us. This is the one who made covenant with Abraham. This is the one that made covenant with Isaac and Jacob, who made covenant with Israel through the law, and then made covenant, you know, with us today through Jesus Christ. It's this God. But all through the covenants, no matter whose covenant, I mean, like in Deuteronomy, if you look in the Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and the verses 1 and 2, now you could read down the first 14 verses, they go into telling you all the blessings, but it opens with, now it shall come to pass, if you shall diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because what? You obey the voice of the Lord your God. So you've got to do what the Word of God says, or what God gave them. Through every covenant that God ever made with man, man had to obey that covenant to be blessed. Look, it is impossible to go to heaven and not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And not on the Lord Jesus Christ and somebody else or something else. It's not that. The Bible tells you. Tells us specifically. In other words, if you want to enter into this covenant of God, there's only one entrance to it. There's only one entrance to salvation. God set this, and God has set it in motion. And we have a choice whether we obey it or not. Our prosperity, or how we prosper, what happens in us in this life, also in the life to come, is set because of what we do in this covenant right now. Your reward to your future as a Christian is set by what you're doing right now. If you're not obeying or walking in what's right, or you are obeying what is going to determine. We're not just doing things here. When I turn around and give my money here, it's not me just giving money, getting money here blessed in the earth. There's reward for Ed Gibson being laid in heaven for doing that. Everything that I walk in here, walk in this earth, and I do, is not just about here. This is why some people, well, I'm happy with what I got. Wait till you get to heaven, you're going to wish you would have. Oh, you're going to make it to heaven. But you're going to live for the rest of your life not having what others have. You don't get up there and all of a sudden it all becomes nice and everybody's equal. There is no socialism in heaven. Some people will have no reward, it says, whatsoever. It'll all be burned up. And here's one thing. They haven't been faithful here. They will not have certain positions in heaven because those positions go to the faithful. The church never reads the Bible. That's why they know nothing about this stuff. They sit and play these. Look, the principles that we are given to walk in are eternal principles. They don't stop when Jesus comes. We go get to live them in their extreme fullness. Without any hindrance. Hallelujah. No hindrance of this old flesh and no hindrance. But others, people are going to be disappointed. The Bible says this. Some, when Jesus comes, they're going to be ashamed. Christians are going to be ashamed. That's the Bible. But what do I know? Hallelujah. Well, Deuteronomy 29, just in your covenant there, 29:9 says this, therefore seek the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. You seek the words of your covenant. They had to seek the words of their covenant. We seek the words of our covenant. Just think about it. God made a covenant with Abraham. God's covenant with Abraham, think about this. God took Abraham. God said he had to go to the land. The blessing was by going into the land. He had to obey and go to the land. You don't get the blessing just because God says, I like you. He had to go to the land. You know when he's in the land? He didn't just go there and just do what he wanted. He came to the place where God said, I want you to sacrifice my son to you. Most Christians, I hear people say, you know, it's not easy being a Christian. Abraham wasn't even a Christian. He wasn't born again and he had sacrificed his son. What do Christians know about? Most Christians know nothing about a hard life here in America. We almost know nothing of it. What is hard about most Christians and living the Christian life is because we're so dominated by our flesh. That's what's hard. That's what I deal with. I don't know about you. Maybe you're way over top of me, but I don't know. That's me, and it's the fight in my flesh. My flesh wants to go lay down, and I just have to just shut up and get up. We're going to do something. Hallelujah. We're going to obey God. Oh, I'd rather go just go. Let's just quit. Let's just go. Let's go do something else. You got to tell your flesh, no, we're going to obey God. We're going to keep walking and obeying God. Doesn't matter. I can't live by what it looks like. His word is true. No matter what happens, no matter what it seems, if I continue to walk in the word, it'll turn out for me as God has said. And, you know, David spoke to the Levites and talked to the Levites, and he said this in 1 Chronicles 22. In verse 12 and 13, he said, only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and the judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, and do not fear nor be dismayed. In other words, following the covenant, doing what the covenant said, leads to prosperity. And so, that's part of what we go through. In the New Testament, James made the statement in James, we used this scripture before, but in James 1:25, James said, but he who looks into what? The perfect law of liberty. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And he said, and continues in it. He didn't say just because you're born again. He didn't say just because you're a child of God. Who continues in the perfect law of liberty, continues to walk in it, continues to do it. He concerning that person, he says there, he continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but what is a doer of the work, or what it says to do. He does what he hears. He says, this one will be blessed in what he does. This one is blessed in what, so we're talking about prosperity. And when I'm talking about prosperity, I'm not just talking about money. We're talking about health, soundness of mind, wholeness. You can't walk opposite what the Word of God tells you and walk in soundness of mind. Loads of people have mind problems today, and their mental problems are from the fact of not walking in the light of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what, if you don't walk in the light of the Word of God, the devil will torment you, he'll operate against you, he'll do things to try to keep you down and oppressed. He's looking for every avenue. If you walk in the light, hallelujah, there in the stay in the light. There is protection in the light. If I'm walking in the light, the devil doesn't have access to me. The devil gets access to me when I walk in the knowledge of religion and everything else that the world offers. And, you know, it's the way people in their thinking. But we're supposed to be blessed. In John 13:7, Jesus made this statement in verse 17 of John 13. He said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. How do you get blessed? By what you know is what you must do. You must do. So see, there's the doing. See, every covenant, we always have the doing part. And James 2:12 said, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. What? speak, you've got to talk. See, we've had a lot of teaching. One of the things is the Lord dealt with me. He said they came along and emphasized speaking the word, which is true and is right. And the Lord said it was good. He said people knew nothing about it. But people got over the thing, and all they do is they talk. The faith, much of the faith people are nothing but talkers. That's all they're doing. They talk the word, they say it, but that's not what they're doing. And the Lord dealt with me on it. He said, today, He said, you need to bring emphasis, and I did have done this for a number of years now. He said, you need to bring emphasis over to the doing part. He said, most of the Christians are talking the word, but they're not doing the word. They don't do what it says. It's beginning to act upon the word of God to do what it says, because the blessing is not in the speaking. The blessing is the doing. Why do I want to speak the word? If I speak it and believe in my heart, it will help me to do it. That's its purpose. It's to inspire me to do. It's not done to say, well, you know, I watch people around and say, I'm confessing this. You know, people confessing prosperity and they ain't giving, or they aren't doing other things that they need to be doing. And they're walking around confessing prosperity. And they do it for years and nothing ever changes. You know, I've known hundreds of people that told me they're believing God for $1 million and they never got it. Why didn't they get it? I will tell you why they didn't get it. I could have told them the day I heard them say it. They were never going to get it, because they were always people who never did the Word of God. And they just had it. Well, they heard a message about confession, and so they went out like an idiot and just started saying, well, I'm believing God for that. Man, they couldn't. These people didn't have enough. They couldn't even believe God to put gas in their car, and they're talking about believing for $1 million. Dear Lord, believe for $10 for gas, you moron. You know, get that. People are just a bunch of idiots. And that's not, we want to speak the word, but we want to do it. It says, why? Because we want to be judged by the law of liberty, don't you? Glory to God. James in 2, verse down in verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? You need to understand this. Faith is not acted upon. It does not produce salvation. A person can believe Jesus is Lord. They can believe that God raised Him from the dead. But if they can believe that it's so, and they can believe it in their heart. But if they don't do what the Bible says, if they don't make the confession, they won't be saved. They got to do what the Word says. I know people. I've talked to an individual who knows that Jesus is Lord. They know that if they want to be born again, they want to become a child of God, they know that they're on their way to hell. But the guy told me, he said, I like the life that I'm living. I don't want to change it. I enjoy the way I'm living. He knows Jesus is Lord. See, a lot of people say, well, if they do the truth, they'd accept Jesus. Now, you telling me everybody that's in hell today didn't know? That would be unjust. Dear God. Loads of people. We're living in a nation where most people know what they're doing's wrong. The Lord had me do that when I worked at Reese Candy Company. People do stuff, and I'd hear these preachers say, well, if they just know the truth, they wouldn't do the things they do. The Lord said to me one day, when you see them do things that are wrong, He said, you go ask them if they knew it was wrong. I started asking them. I never had one individual ever tell me when they were doing something wrong that they thought it was right. Never one time. Well, they always would do this. Yes, I know that wasn't right. But so-and-so did this, and well, we always did that. But they knew they were doing wrong. Hallelujah. They know that they're doing wrong. In Matthew in the 7th chapter, verse 26, starting verse 26, this is Jesus again. I think it qualifies to... If Jesus said it, we ought to stick with it. He said, but everyone, this is everyone, but everyone, He doesn't say, but some people this works for, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. If you look on the verses before, he talks about the guy who stood through the storm. How did he do it? He heard the word, but he did it. I remember they used to always talk about, oh yeah, you know, believing in Jesus Christ, I'm built on the houses. My house isn't on the sand. You could be born again and you're living on quicksand, man. He didn't say here. He said the guy that believes on me and then believes and then does. He believes, he hears, and he does it. He didn't say the guy who accepts me, you know, he ain't going to fail. He could just, he has, you know, carte blanche. He just gets it all, you know, and it don't matter what. No, I'm sorry. It don't happen like that. You got to do what the Word says. And he talks about here, great is the fall. I really too believe, I believe in 2013, we're going to see some great falls. I think we're going to see some great falls. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church community. We're going to see some great falls. I'm going to tell you, people, because of not walking in the truth and doing with it, they're going to have calamity that is going to be unfixable. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be unfixable. That's why God has been warning in the church, and the church hasn't been preaching the warnings about getting right, getting things fixed, getting right. No, we have this sloppy grace. Go live like you want, do what you want. You'll always get straightened out. You know, you can, God will just fix it. Hide and watch. It ain't going to be happening. You know, one of the areas, and I just want to talk about it, is one of the areas, because we're going to talk doing the Word, there's two things that the Lord wanted me to talk about, is one of those in the areas so God can prosper you from the areas of financially. He wants to prosper you financially. We talked about some of these things before, but I just, you know, the Bible deals with the areas of giving. In Luke 6:38, again here, this is Jesus. He said, "Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use..." Now listen, the same measure that you use. You need to understand this. See, people say, "Oh, you know, I gave, so it's going to be, I'm going to really be blessed." No, you need to understand it. You're going to be blessed at the measure you use. The measure of what you have and what you do. Now, you get a guy who doesn't have much. I found this out. I mean, I know from here in this church. I know from financial giving. We had people already who came to this church years ago, came to this church very well off financially. And when, you know, giving I gave about twice as much to this church every year as they did. And I'm going to tell you, they had a ton more money than I did. This is one thing. I know this. God didn't bless them. They did business things and did, but God couldn't bless them. I know this. I know they're in some huge trouble. I know these people are in some big trouble. They don't even see it coming, but I know it's coming. I've known it for years that it's coming. There's people that I've known for years. They think they're running along really nice. I know they're in. I know what's going to happen. I've already seen it years ago. It's going to happen. You don't have to be a prophet. I just know the Bible. I know what happens when you play. I've read the scriptures. I ain't one of these stupid preachers that don't know what the Bible says and just throw some things out so people, you know, like you and pat you on the back. I've read this thing a few times. I've asked God about it a couple of times. I've learned some things. You don't play. You play around with Christianity. You're better. The Bible says this. You're better off not knowing than have gotten into it and play games. Gee, how does that fit in the grace message? I just don't understand the loving God. It's because this sloppy grace that has been preached. People get away with things for a very long period of time. I thank God for grace, surely. I have needed it on many occasions. But I tell you what, God is talking to us about straightening out. It'd be a good idea. And tell people that. There's many people. I'm not just, you know, you people want to walk right, but you need to tell people around you. You need to warn people. People around you want to play things, and they're talking about being Christians, and they're talking about, they're playing, and you need to let them know. They're talking about believing God. You know, and they'll ask you to join together. You know for sure things are messed up, it ain't going to work for them, but because we don't want to be, you know, we want them to like us, we don't say anything. I'll tell you what, I'm at the point somebody comes praying, I know they're messed up, they want to pray. Why should we pray? Let's get this stuff straightened out. We're going to get this stuff straightened out. We're just blowing wind playing church. We need to get it straight. You know, all of us missing that stuff, but I tell you, there's people out here, they're missing it huge. They're missing it big time. In Galatians, Mike, you know, read the sermon, but it says there, it says, don't, in Galatians 6 and verse 7 and 8 says, don't be deceived. Tells us not to be deceived. He says, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. God's not mocked. He didn't understand. This was written to Christians. This was not written to the world. Christians, he said to Christians, in other words, how I sow, what I sow. Now, it's not just money. We're talking about our life. You're living a life. You're sowing. As you live your life, your speech, what you're talking, what you're doing is sowing. And you need to understand this. This is one of the things that I learned from Kenneth Hagin as a baby Christian. He said he was a pastor of a church. He said, I could tell, he said, he used the example of children. He said, I looked at people and their kids. He said, when their kids were born, he said, I could tell how their children were going to turn out. And he said, people ask, well, you know that you're a prophet. He said, no, I don't. He said, because I know the parents. And I know where they are spiritually and what they're doing. And I know how their kids are going to turn out. Because of how they're going to act and what they're going to do. Well, they know that. We need to understand this stuff. How things turn out. And so we need to know. So we got to get in line with things. Now that doesn't mean somebody isn't going to stray off or something like that. But you know, we need to know and take responsibility. He said, I knew from a spiritual standpoint what was going to happen. I knew what happened. Why? Because he said, I know what the Bible says. But see, people's lives, I've learned it to them. I know people going in directions. And sometimes, you know, they think, you know, they'll ignore you completely. You know, they'll, well, I'm okay. I'm all right. I've had people tell me, well, I believe you're wrong about it. Well, go ahead. Yeah, they get a couple years down the road and everything messes up and everything's all over, you know, place and that stuff from heading in that direction. Yeah, I don't believe, you know, you tell them what the Bible says. Well, I believe you're wrong about that. This is the way I believe it. Well, go ahead. Believe it any way you like. The Bible's of no private interpretation. Revelation comes with the Scripture. When I turn around and see somebody that I know, they don't walk in no revelation, and I know this, they don't seek God and they're not after him. They're telling me the revelation from the Word they got. Dear God, I ain't paying no attention. I know they didn't get one. I know their revelation came from their little old mind that is full of the world and everything else. And they go ahead in those directions, they're going to be in trouble. And so we need to walk right. For he who sows in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit, what's he going to reap? Life and peace. See, many people saying, they're praying for peace. Oh, I'm just praying for peace. Pray night and day for peace, but if you're sowing to the flesh, it ain't coming. Life and peace ain't coming. It ain't gonna happen. Now, I say, but take it. I mean, I'm just dumb enough to believe what the Bible says. I just believe that this is principle, the Word of God. It tells us this is about my prosperity. Okay, what do I want? I tell you what, give me a bunch of money, but I'll tell you, I'd first like to have some life and peace. So, if I don't want to sow to the flesh. I want to sow to the Spirit. I want to be more spirit conscious than flesh conscious in what I'm doing and what I'm walking in. I want to be over there. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That was talking directly about money. And so we need to understand this. God is not moved. Is like the pastor from Canada that he knows a lot about prosperity. He's from a financial standpoint. God's used him really big, Pastor Jay. But it's like he said, God's not interested in big money. He said God's interested in percentage. And you need to understand this. I don't care if a guy has $1 million and he tithes, and a guy has $10,000 and he tithes. In the eyes of God, they both gave identical. There's no, you did not give more money because you tithe, you earn more money. That is not giving more money. That's just giving 10%. And we proved it from the Scriptures where the woman with the two mites went in and put the money. They said she gave more than everybody. Well, how could she have given more than? It's because God does not go by the actual value of the money. He goes by percentage of what you got. My words, I know people got a lot more money than me. They would never think about giving 20% of their money away. This is one thing as I know. They haven't got their money because of godliness. You know, if this idea that you're going to get a lot of money, if you got a lot of money, it's like some kind of idea of your spirituality. That's the biggest nonsense in the world. If that's true, then the most godly, one of the most godly guys, you know, Microsoft, what's his name? I mean, he's one of the most, must be one of the most godly guys in America. I mean, the richest guy in the world is that guy from Mexico, and he's a real godly guy. And, you know, it's, wow. It's no measure. I want to, when I stand before Jesus, I want to be measured on my giving. I want to be Cornelius. Measured on my giving. The Bible says more blessed to give than receive. The church, most of prosperity people know nothing about that. They're still after the money. No, I'll meet Jesus. He will say, man, you was a giver down there, bud. Where do you see what you got up here? Woo! I won't tell you what. You live it up big down here or live it up big eternity up there. You pick and choose whatever you want. But you're going to pick many people. The rich man, Jesus said about the rich man and Lazarus. He said, hey, on the earth you had all this good stuff and he had bad stuff. He's having all the good stuff now. You have an old bad stuff. We ought to get some of the prosperity people to read that stuff and do them well. It isn't about getting rich here. There's nothing wrong with that, but having money. Proverbs 11 verse 24 says, there is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, it's one thing. If I fall in line with the principles of the Word, I'll be taken care of. I don't have to seek after money. I don't have to seek money. Money will seek me. Money will find its way to me. It's like the book I have at home of a, and I've told you guys many times, is a multi-millionaire, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. This guy's a Christian and he's in, a businessman down in Australia. And he said about his money. He said, I have never worked or done anything in my life for money. He said, I've always followed in my heart what I'd like to do, in my heart to do. And he said, I've done it. And he said, I've went into businesses and stuff. People told me you were crazy for doing. You're not going to make any money. And he said this, I've never gone into a business I haven't made money. I've been told by people I wouldn't. He said, I don't do it for money. He said, but money always follows me. But he's a very generous man. He never, see, this one thing. The Bible talks about, people twist it wrong, but it talks about the New Testament. The guys, the problem people, the whole, their problem is they want to get rich. He says, that's a dangerous thing. You don't seek money. That's not what you're after. You seek to do what God wants you to do. You do the Word of God. Money will chase you down. I've always said, God send somebody from the other side of the world to come over, just give me some money. I believe that. If I need money, I don't care. Everybody else can say no in America. He'll find a guy in China that'll come over and visit Ed and give him money. See, most people, they limit God. They limit God with the people they're around that they know they have money they could get it from. And that's why they can't get anything, because their faith is in what's around them. And they call it faith in God. They ain't faith in God at all. I don't care where it comes from. My words. They can send it to me from the gambling casino. I ain't going to throw it out. I'm going to use it for God. I don't care. Oh, I wouldn't take their devilish money. I will. The wealth of wicked's laid up for Ed Gibson. Morons. Religious people get to be idiots. I wouldn't want their dirty money. I'll take it. You know, it's like telling a guy you don't want to use his hammer because he had dirty hands on it or something. And you need a hammer. I'll take it. We'll wipe the hammer off and use it for good. Glory to God. You know, it's like, what a moron. We live in a crazy world, don't we? Hallelujah, but we're not like it. See, we want to think like it. Now, I want to talk to you about another area here, though, and we want to discuss, and I want to go through quickly because of what the Bible says about it, and it deals with the area, because if you want to prosper, you can give money, that's good, but you have to have an avenue that God can bless you. And it's God, most of the time, let me say this, is not going to just bless you by somebody coming giving you money. That is not how it's going to come. Most of the time, that's not the way it comes. Because if God, you need to understand this, God can't hardly use that method if you don't follow this method. And it's a dirty four-letter word in America. It's called work. You don't need a job, you need to work. A job might mean nothing. Loads of people have on what they call a job and ain't doing a thing. You need to work. You need to work. It is a biblical principle. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who needs. What is the purpose of work? Here it gives us the idea that if you go to work, God will bless you so much you're going to have left over to give away to need. That's the idea of that scripture. It wasn't so you miss your lunch and give it to somebody else. Work is where you is a place for your prosperity, and you need to start getting in faith in that. Most people cannot get certain things and cannot be blessed through their work because of how they think and what they do. You know, I'm going to go hire the union, or I'm going to find some way to make this person give me what I want. That isn't how you do it. You do it through work. If you want to get God involved in yours, you folks heard the story I told when I was out in Oklahoma, how, you know, God wouldn't give me a raise. I was the best worker he had, but he, you know, I wasn't one of his party buddies and something else. So he gave, the other guys didn't do nothing, gave raises. And when the Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, why don't you go to work for me? In other words, he told me, start going to work as if I'm working for Jesus. I started doing that. I started just going to work every day, thanking God, said, Jesus, I'm just working for you today. Hallelujah. So I'm going to do good. I never shortchanged the guy. I never, because he didn't do right, I did what's right. I'm working for Jesus. I started doing that. Within 2 months' time, Mond and I had so much money coming in that I would forget to pick up my paycheck at work. Because we had more money coming in, some stuff got what? I started working. But understand, you're going to have to work. You can't be lazy about things. Work is a thing that God has established as an avenue to bring wealth to people. It's an avenue that God has. You got to work. You got to labor. You got to do whatever you're in or do. You labor to labor and you work at it. Hallelujah. But one of the things that you get in faith, just like get in faith with this scripture. In other words, if I labor with my hands, God's going to give me enough that I'm going to be able to take care of my needs and I'm going to be able to give. That's his intent. So I can give. So that's his purpose, and that's his plan in work. In 2 Thessalonians 3:11 says, for we hear, listen to this, that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Look at this. If people don't work, what are they? What did he say they are? He said they're disorderly. Why? They're out of the order of God. People are not supposed to be sitting around doing nothing. Because if you do, you have closed an avenue for God to bless you. You've closed an avenue for God to bless you. It's disorderly. It is out of the order of the church. It's out of order. That's why our nation is so messed up. It is so out of order. It is, people ain't working and it's taking care of them. They'll say, well, these people are poor. They need our help. Yes, but you need to get them doing something, because they're always going to be a burden on society. God cannot bless them. I don't care if they're a born again Christian. He cannot bless them till they start to do something. You got to put your hand to something for God to bless. There's nothing for God to bless. There's nothing for him to do. He went on to say, he says, now those who are such, we command and exhort those through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. In other words, they aren't supposed to be on welfare. You know, I'll just say this to you. It's one of the things that I learned from my dad, but I learned the thing. You know, people do this like today. Today people get laid off. You know, and I've heard people say this all the time. Well, you make good money and you're laid off, and so they just stay out there. I'm gonna tell you what, if you're laid off and you're not after work, God, you can pray night and day for God to bless you, and he can't. Because God blesses labor that you do. See, my dad was God. If my dad had left a job and he was, had to leave a job, my dad was immediately after a job. You know what? God bless my wife. One of the things, I'll tell you this, health. This is why we have such, one of the areas of bad health in America. People won't work, and it's affecting the health of the nation, and this is why. If you don't get people out of this stupid welfare junk and all this, you don't get them out of this stuff, you can't keep sickness off of them. The devil owns them, because they can't have the blessing of God. You don't need health if you ain't going to work. You don't need it. If you ain't going to do anything, you have no need of health. Minister told that one time. Kenneth Hagin talked about it. A girl came up to be prayed for, and she had her shoulder or her arm was hurting or something. He wouldn't pray for it, and the guy just asked her. The minister asked her, by the anointing of God, why do you want to be healed? She said, so I can play tennis. He said, you don't need to be healed to play tennis. You need to be healed to serve God. He said, you ain't going to get healed heading in the direction you're going. Good preaching anyhow. I know it ain't fun, but people like to hear it. But we have a society, the world's in the church. The world's in the church and the world, because the world has no demand. People come who don't work, and they'll just feed them and take care of them and do things, and they're not stopping saying, look, if you don't get a job, if you don't begin to work, you can't be blessed. You can't be blessed. It's our avenue. Work is an avenue, is a place. Deuteronomy 28:12 says, the Lord will open, listen to me, he says, open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the works of your hands. Now he's talking to farmers. It wouldn't do any good here for the farmer for God to rain on his land and he ain't going to work. He said, I want to bless the work of your hands. If you don't get out there and do something, it ain't going to be blessing time. It's not going to happen. He said, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. How did America end up in that situation where we're nothing but a borrowed nation? It's because we removed work. We got people thinking that if they work 20 or 30 years, they should be able to retire for the rest of their life. I want you to think about this. People are reaching the place of hitting 80 years old. They want to work for 30 years and 50 years of their life, not do anything. I'm going to tell you, it's insanity, and we got to get it out of the church, because it's as much in the church as any place. This bit of retirement, everybody wants to retire and do nothing. Good preaching anyhow. It's the devil. The devil wants you to go sit down and do nothing. He wants you to close the door to your prosperity. You know, it's like Dr. J said in his church. He just tells it. He says, I don't care how old you are. He says, you're never too old to get rich. He said, we have people come in our church, well, I'm retired, I'm on a fixed income. And he just tells him, he says, now hold it. You start believing God, get rich. He started telling stories of how people now are millionaires who were turning around 70s. One guy's in his 80s. It was in his 80s, got to be a millionaire. God gave him wisdom. He began to start to do stuff. God gave him wisdom to build a certain kind of trap to catch flies. Some company found out about it, come along, bought it. He got a patent, all this stuff, selling. He got this income coming in. He's loaded with money. But you know what? He didn't get it rocking in a rocking chair somewhere, talking about, well, you're old and I've earned this place in life. What do you want? If you want money, you're going to have to do something. What do you want? It's not going to fall out of a tree on you. It's not going to. Now, you go around, do you ever check millionaires how much they work? They get mad at these guys and these companies. Oh, that guy made $26 million. They paid him $26 million. Yeah, he worked 80 hours a day. You want the $26 million working 35 to 40 hours a week. And then you want, at least 2 or 3 months vacation and everything else. It ain't going to happen. Do you know what? I'm serious. As you say, take down to Rehoboth. Down to Rehoboth sometime. They have these enormous beach houses down there. These real rich places, and companies have. They're hardly used. Because they're always working. And they wonder why they're rich. And they got a house down there that they can use 2 times a year. And people get mad at them. They deserve it. They work. You don't deserve it if you don't work. It's the Word of God, man. Proverbs 10:4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Do you recognize harvest? I'm going to tell you what, I'm in the middle of harvest. These are mine. From now till Jesus comes is harvest time for Ed Gibson. I'm living in harvest days. I tell you what, I ain't going to have no slack hand. I'm in the days to prove this thing out. While the rest of the world is wondering where the next meal or whether next month things are going to be running, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to go fine for Ed. Hallelujah. I'm in harvest time. Glory to God. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Let me say this to you. The Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart if you're not lazy. Just told us here, if you're lazy, you ain't getting it. Your desire ain't going to be fulfilled. Woo, good preaching, Ed. See, somebody should have read all this. They get these little promise things and people throw them out there. They need to read the whole Bible and find out about it. Doesn't matter if you have a desire. If you're lazy, it ain't coming to pass. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there's profit. Well, it just don't pay to do some things. I'm going to tell you, it pays every time to do what's right. It pays every time. I don't care. It's like Kenneth Hagin, I learned from him. He said, God don't pay every Friday, but when he does, it's a good one. And I learned, sometimes you go for a long time, don't seem like any pay was coming. But just kept doing right. Other people seem to be getting ahead. Other people seem to get more. I just keep walking and doing what's right. Because Ed has a payday. And all the time, Ed's been laying up treasures in heaven. Just doing what's right. All the time, big stuff being laid up. But it's going to show up for here, for me too. It's going to show up here. Doing right. Hallelujah. But the idle chatter leads only to poverty. You know, God created man. And this the scriptures that I'll use here. God created man to work. That's what it is. You were put in this earth to work. That's why you were put here. You were put in the earth to work. In Genesis, the second chapter, starting in verse 4, it says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the days that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plants of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from earth and watered the whole face of the earth, and the Lord God formed man. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. The Lord God formed man. He said, up until the time there was no man to till. Adam was put in the earth to work. If you don't like work, you don't like God, and you don't know God. Because God is a worker. And creating people after himself of his own kind, of his own image, it's a worker. God created man to work. You can, you know, Europe and America cannot stop this bleeding of our nations in our socialism. You can't stop it. You can't stop it in your, I mean, if you do foolish with your money, if you're foolish concerning your money and you just throw it away to people who don't work and don't do things and you do that and don't do what's right, you're helping poverty. You're just helping poverty run. You're just helping the devil take more ground in America. See, I believe in working. I believe we got to do something. You know, we don't just sit around. We have stuff. We got to do stuff. We got to labor. You know, everybody has different, no matter what jobs you're on or what you, God wants to prosper you in the place where you're at. See, some people don't like where they're at. They're waiting for an opportunity. I'm telling you, start making opportunities. Start making opportunities. You got to put your hand to something. See, everybody's waiting around for the right job to come. Could you imagine what our nation, we wouldn't have any jobs out here if most people had that thing, because nobody would ever been an entrepreneur sitting around waiting for the right job to come. Nobody would have ever started a business. They'd have never done nothing. That's why most people, they can't prosper. It's impossible, because they're waiting for it just to fall out on them when they haven't done nothing. It's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. So we gotta labor, we gotta practice. And I just want to encourage you, you need to learn to tell people this stuff. You need to learn to tell people. People are gonna come along to you, they're gonna talk to you. We need to preach a different message that's been preaching in the church. It ain't been the Bible. The church is preaching a lot of wrong stuff. They don't talk about these things. They talk about prosperity, but they don't deal with these subjects. Why? Because there's a lot of people, they're just sitting around, they're under the belief, I just keep sending checks, and I'm wondering, oh man, I'm just waiting. It's like the lotto. It ain't the lotto. You ain't playing the lotto. You ain't paying the kid. This is our giving. Isn't this thing to all of a sudden one day, you know, the roulette wheel runs around, the ball fell on the right thing, and I had my chips on the right spot. Woo! That's not what we're doing. That's not what it is. Do you know professional gamblers work hard? I'm serious. Professional gamblers, those guys work hard. To them, it's a job. It's, you know, to them, really, it isn't necessarily even about gambling. It's like a job. It's like a way of thinking as a mind and an operation. They do it. They work at things. People work at things to make money. You need to get, you know, in a right frame. See, everybody's looking for something to nothing. It's just going to cost me, you know. It's all just going to work out for me. You know, one day I'm just going to hit the big payday. Not if it ain't worked. It ain't going to come. And we need to know the truth. The Bible says the truth is what makes you free. It's the truth. Not some fanciful story. Not so, well, I'm just going to turn around here and put money in the plate and it's all just going to work out. So you need to get in faith about the job that you're on. Can God bless you and where you're at and what you're doing? God's blessed me huge. I mean, my words, I know ministers, and they'll tell you, oh, they have money problems. I said, they got churches with 5 times more people, and there's some of them 100 times more people, and they're sitting around talking stupid stuff. That's why they ain't no more in faith than man on the moon. They don't have a big church because they got any faith. It's a message they preach. Dear God, they preach a sick message, and their congregation is as sick as they are. Sitting around talking their stupid stuff. But I learned to, I said, I know from the time God had me started. If God has me here, this is my place of milk and honey. He has to provide for me here, because if He don't, He operates against His own word. He has no business telling me to obey Him. He has to bless me here. And not just, He has to give me enough that I could turn around and give to the desire that I want to give. So He has to give enough money to take my needs so I can give as much as I want to. He has to do that. It has nothing to do with my job. It has to do with me. What am I going to believe? What am I putting my hand to do? Sometimes you got to put your hand on your wallet. That's not always an easy thing to do. No, I want this. I want a new car. I want this, or I want to buy that. I want to do this, and we're saving my money for this. Well, I just, you know, I've learned a lot of times that God, right in the middle of all that stuff, is usually when He wants something from me. That's what He wants. And most people, that's when they ain't going to listen. Because they have what they want. I learned that. What does God want? If I have to go with what He wants, dear Lord, Ed's in for a blessing. Ed's in for a blessing. That's how it works. See, we got to get over in the area. What do you want out of life? It's not in the hands of God. God told Joshua that if he did what the word said, he, you know, followed the word, he did what it said. He confessed and looked day and night. That was what he would do. He said, you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. He didn't say God was going to prosper you. You'll make, why? In the Word. If you'll follow the Word, the power of God is in the Word for you to prosper. The power is there to obey the Word. I just encourage you and to let people know. Be honest to people. If they're not going to work, they shouldn't expect ever to prosper. They're not going to. They're going to have to do something. They're going to have to get somebody to steal from somebody else to give it to them. They're going to have to get the government to go take money out of the good man's wallet to give to them, to give them something. But I'll tell you this. None of them, I never met anybody on welfare that's prospered. are the most unprosperous people in the world. I don't care how much you give them. It's squandered, and they're around, and they turn around, and what they're doing, they're going to every other agency around trying to get something else out of them. That's all they do. I know. I get enough calls from them. I call agencies and find out. I call other churches and find out all they're doing. Oh, yeah, I'm a good Christian. Yes, I go to church, but boy, you ain't no good Christian. I don't care if you go to church. You ain't learning nothing. All you know is a beggar on the street. You're nothing but a beggar. And the church has trained them to be beggars. They never told them they had to work. They got to work. Because they ain't going to be blessed doing it some other way. It will never, ever happen. Hallelujah. They're going to have to get a job. I don't care if I would be making more money out here on government assistance and I'd go to a job. I will take the job. I will not cut off my blessing. I will not cut off my blessing. Because to turn around and sit and say, oh no, I can get more money here doing nothing. I've heard people say that. Say, yeah, don't be surprised you end up in your life with nothing. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised the devil gets a hold of you, makes you sick, and everything you got you lose. Good preaching, folks. But we need to tell people. Hallelujah. We're not called to be God in the lives of people. We're not called to be God. People are not supposed to be looking to us for their care. The Bible's very clear on who you even put on the payroll concerning a church and care for. It tells you about a widow. It tells you the age that she has to be. Also, if she is a person of prayer, and does, it gives you qualifications. In other words, if they are just sitting at home and not doing nothing, you don't put them on the roll. The church ain't supposed to be taking care of them. But then we threw all that out of the Bible. That ain't there no more. You see, we have a society. We need to get over in line with the Word. I will guarantee you, you come in line with the Word, it works. My father, in his life, never earned as much money as a lot of people around him, but he ended up better off financially than most all of them did. God blessed him. God blessed him. And he came down the days that, I mean, my dad was in his 80s. He always kept his hand to prosper. He's in his 80s. My brother's a contractor. He's out there. He'd go to work with him every day. My dad said to me, he said, you don't quit in life. You don't quit. You keep your seat. He said, you go sit down or you're going to stay down. He said, people, I can get my retirement. I'm just going to go sit down. I said, Wanda and I were at a wedding and there was a guy who was sitting with us. We didn't know him. We were friends of, you know, people were sitting there, and he spoke to us about he was a farmer. And this guy was up there and he was talking about it, and I knew he was in like his 70s, and his wife were there, real nice folks, and I talked to him and said, you still farm? Oh yeah, he said, I still stay. He said, my son runs the farm, but he said, I work all day. He said, I go out and do stuff all the time with my son to farm. He said, oh, I don't quit. He said, yeah, my friend's in farming. He said, all of them are quitting. He said, I'm the only one left alive. He said, they've all died. They're younger than I am. You see, I'm a big believer in this. If you're not going to do anything in this earth, you might as well leave. I mean, I don't want to live a vacation home at the beach for the rest of my life when I could be in heaven enjoying the best of the best. I mean, if you're not going to do nothing here, what on earth would you want to stay here for? When you can have the best of the best. See, most Christians don't even think that way. They think the best of the best is here, and they fight and do all what they do to try to hang on to here as much as they can. It's not the way it's done. I'll tell you what. If God said, your job's done, Ed's departing to be with Christ. I'm just telling you, I'm him. I don't want to stay around here 15 minutes longer than I have to. I don't understand it. I mean, is heaven real? I hope you're not one of those dumb people. Well, if I go, who's going to take care of my family? They probably don't care about you anyhow. I'm serious. They'll be down here fighting over. If it's that kind of family, you have to be here to try to take care of it. They're just going to fight over what you got when you left. I don't know why you think it'd be any. Get over it, folks. Hallelujah. I love Wanda, but I'd sure like to go to heaven. I'm sorry. You know, I'm good. I'm serious. I'd love to go to heaven. What the book says about it's true, folks. It's real. Hallelujah. So we have nothing to worry about here. My God, he could create all that. Just with, if that is what's all the things I talked about are created on this side, what's on that side? Dear God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.